If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. And I want to read verse number 1. Genesis 17 and verse number 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, we just pray that your word would speak to our hearts and strengthen our faith in these days, and we'll be careful to give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Years ago, when I was an assistant pastor and working with Pastor Hunt, I can remember one day we went to a conference, and this conference was just made up of a large number of pastors. And as we were at this conference, we were sitting there and we were listening to all the pastors and preachers. At one point, they had a discussion amongst the pastors. And the discussion was about this subject, the subject of miracles in the Bible. And I was sitting there. I was a young man. I still am. But I was sitting there as a young man, as an assistant pastor. I'm listening to all these pastors get into this big, deep, theological discussion about the biblical meaning of the word miracle in the Bible. And this went on for an hour, and they're talking about what it meant theological and what it meant biblically and what the definition of the word was and everything else. And I'm sitting there thinking, are you serious? Really? We're going to discuss for an hour the meaning of the word miracle? And they came to the point where they were discussing whether God really did miracles today according to the technical biblical definition from the Hebrew and Greek of the word miracle in the Bible. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know what is going on, but I know this. My God is still a God of miracles today. And you can get really twisted up and tied up in the biblical definition of a miracle in the Bible, but I know that my God is the same God of yesterday, today, and forever, and God is still doing miracles. And miracles, to me, is simply this, that God is doing something that is not natural, that cannot be done by man, to show himself and his power so that we give him all the glory. And I just want to give you, as we begin, just a couple of miracles that have taken place just recently. One of them took place this morning. One of them just took place in our service. Because Pastor Donnie got up and he spoke by way of introduction about the power and the greatness of God. And so the choir music is going to be about the power and the greatness of God in our lives. Pastor Donnie and I did not discuss the choir music, his introduction, nor the message of which I am preaching this morning. Neither one of us discussed what was being preached or what the choir was singing, and yet God took the hearts of two men and put the same theme together for today, the greatness and the power of God. That is a miracle. That is a miracle because God did it. So we would know God did it. So we would know that the message today is exactly the message that God wants us to hear so that we can give God all the glory. Just the other day on Thursday, I'll give you another miracle. Just the other day on Thursday, my wife and I, we set out in the course of our day and we had some plans. So in the morning, we went to this one place and God just redirected us and stopped us at that place from what we were doing and redirected us. So we went with the same purpose in mind. We went to another location. And God stopped us there, and we went home. And later in the afternoon, I said, well, let's go over here. Let's go in this direction. Let's go to this location in this place. And we went to another place. And I'm not going to give you all the details, but we went to another place, and we met with this young man, a Christian young man that has a business. And as we began to speak with him, he began to tell me about the stress he was under that was really causing him great stress in his business that afternoon. And I was able to tell that young man, listen, I have, because of the Lord's grace and his provision, I have the things that you can use to relieve the stress in regard to your business. And within a couple of hours, and with the help of some other folks, I was able to just bring the things, specific things that he needed to take care of the problem in his business that was causing him stress. That was not of man, that was of God. I hadn't seen that man or spoken to that man in months, if not a whole year. And yet God directed our steps, the steps of my wife and I, to go to this man on this afternoon so that God, by his grace, as Donnie spoke in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, so that his grace could miraculously meet the needs of that man and relieve the stress and give him peace. That is our God. Our God, the theme of today is our God is a God of miracles. In 2020, our God is a God of miracles. Look at Genesis 17. Now consider this. Abram is 90 years old and 99 years old, and the Lord appears to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And as Genesis 17 goes on, you come down to verse number 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I'll bless her, she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. And in this passage of scripture in Genesis 17, we see that our God is truly a God of miracles. But the first thing I want us to notice this morning, in verse number 1 of chapter 17, the first thing that God makes known to Abraham is the very greatness of God. The greatness of God. For God says to Abraham, and God could have used any name that the Bible tells us it speaks of God, but he says this, I am the Almighty God. I am the Almighty God. You know, throughout the scriptures, the Bible reminds us and tells us and teaches us, encourages us in this regard, that God is great, that God is the Almighty, that God is Almighty. I mean, just turn over to Exodus chapter 15 for a moment. I want to give you a number of verses in this first point about the greatness of God. And if you can, just jot them down, because they will strengthen your faith so that you will be able to trust God and believe God, the Almighty God, for miracles in your life. Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 6. The Bible says this, Moses and the children of Israel, they sing this song unto the Lord. Exodus 15 and verse 6. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Turn with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Verse number 24. Joshua is praying. And he says this in verse 24. O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? You know, I like the way Joshua puts it. Joshua says, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. Joshua says, you have only begun to show me how great you are. I like that because that reminds me that with all that I've seen God do, all the miracles and all the greatness of his power, he's really saying, I have only begun to show you my greatness. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, if you will. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 11, David the king is saying unto the congregation of Israel, in verse number 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. If you turn over to the book of Job, chapter 27, or Job 37, excuse me, Job 37. Job 37 and verse number 23. Job is going through all the trials in his life. In Job 37 and verse number 23. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him. But he says in verse 23, touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. You know, when we think of the greatness of God, you and I cannot begin to comprehend the magnitude or the immensity or the fullness of how great and powerful our God is. Really is. If you'll turn over to Psalm 62, Psalm 62. Here David is speaking once again in Psalm 62. David says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. You come down to verse number 11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest every man according to his work. It says, is it any wonder why David said, truly my soul waits upon God? Because David knew that power belongs to God. Psalm 147 and verse number 5. And these are just a few of the verses that you can find in the Bible that speak of the greatness and the power of the Almighty of our God. In Psalm 147 and verse number 5. It says, great is our Lord and of great power. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 40. You say, Pastor, how many verses are you going to read? Boy, I'd like to read every one the Bible tells us about the greatness of God. Because you know what? The more I read them, the more excited I get, the more my faith is strong, the more I can get on my knees and cry unto God for his power to be shown in my life. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 26, look what it says. Well, go back to verse number 25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by the names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. You know, one thing that I used to like to do is, I used to like to go to a tractor and machine places where they sell heavy equipment. And I just used to like to start, and I would start at one end and I'd see a small machine and I'd think about what that small machine could do. And then my eyes would just drift over to the next size machine and then the bigger machine and the bigger machine and the stronger machine. And pretty soon I'd be looking at one of these machines that is just, the power in it is great. I love watching videos on the computer of how powerful heavy equipment can be and machines and what they can do. Those are exciting videos for me. But here Isaiah is saying, lift up your eyes on high and look at God. Behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He called them all by names by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah would say this in verse number 6. Much like Isaiah would say, much like David would say. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. That's why he is the Almighty. Jeremiah 32 and verse number 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. You know, when you think your problem is too hard for God, when you think your situation is too difficult for God, Jeremiah would point his finger at creation. He said, look out there. Look out there. Look up there and look down there and look all around, because God, with the power of his voice, spoke all of this into existence. And he says, there's nothing too hard for thee. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it says it again. It teaches us again that when we want to look and know the power of the Almighty, all we have to do is look around us at what he created. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And then you go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. And this is why Peter would so clearly say these words in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's what Pastor Donnie was speaking about in the introduction. When we consider ourselves and how small we are in comparison with the greatness of God, Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And so first of all, when you go back to Genesis chapter 17, the first thing we see is God, when he speaks to Abraham, when he appears to Abraham, he says to Abraham, he's going to tell Abraham he's going to do a miracle, but first he says to Abraham, Abraham, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Because God wants us to know that he is able. There's nothing too hard for God because he is the Almighty. But now in Genesis chapter 17, God is going to go on, the Almighty God that is all powerful, that there's nothing too hard for him. He's going to tell Abraham that, Abraham, I'm going to do a miracle in your life. I'm going to do a miracle in your life that according to man should not be possible. In fact, Abraham, you won't think it's possible. Your wife won't think it's possible. But I'm telling you, not only possible, but I'm going to do it. And the miracle is this. Abraham's 99 years old, and in verse 15, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. And now we see in Genesis 17, we not only see the greatness of God, but we begin to see great miracles of God. Great miracles done by the powerful hand of God. And here in Genesis 17, we see the miracle that when Abraham and Sarah are 99 years old, that God says, I'm going to give you a child. And God did give them a child. And that name of that child was Isaac. And that was a great miracle. We could go on through the Bible. Turn over to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Now, I promise you we won't go through as many of verses as we did in the first point. But in Exodus chapter 14, look at verse 21. Here's another miracle that God did. Israel has been delivered out of the bondage of slavery from Egypt. And now this great multitude of people, probably a million strong, is standing at the banks of the Red Sea. And the water before them is overflowing the banks. And in Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And he made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. I mean, just stop and consider that. And don't listen to the skeptics. Listen to the word of God. God said that Red Sea, he says, I caused a strong east wind all that night to blow. And the sea on that side stood up like a heap. And the sea on that side stood up like a heap. And the children of Israel walked through the midst of those walls of water, a million strong on dry ground. Go over to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Here's another one. The kids love this one. I love this one. We all should love this one. Now the children of Israel have come to the promised land and all the miracles they've seen. And now there's a city that stands before them that God has said he's going to give to them. And yet that city has these walls surrounding it that are big enough and wide enough and strong enough that people built houses on top of the walls. And without going into all the details of how this all took place, just come down to verse number 20 for a moment. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Another miracle. And throughout the Bible, there are miracles one right after another. Throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, all the way into the days of the early church, God did miracle after miracle after miracle because God is almighty. But I want to share some testimonies this morning about miracles that God has done in our church. That miracles that God has done in our church. You know, it's Mother's Day, and when we think of Mother's Day, we think of children. And by the way, may I just say this, that we had another young lady, a baby, that it was her first service last week as well, and that was Laura Bergen. And so not only did we have Finley, but we had Laura. You know, by the way, maybe it's a coincidence, maybe not, but if you have Finley and Laura, their first service in church was on the same day that maybe they ought to get married at some point. But anyways, we'll move on. But miracles, when we think of babies, and every mother and every father looks at a baby as a gift from God, as a miracle from God. But you know, there have been times in our church where we've had parents that they know their baby is a miracle. John and Daria, Felicity, that little baby is a miracle because we all remember how we prayed and while that little baby was down at Yale New Haven. And that's just one. We could go on and we could think of young people. The man that stood before you this morning, and I know he doesn't want me to remind you, but Pastor Donnie's a miracle. He's a miracle. 4 years old, he falls out of a second floor window on his head. And yet he stands before you today. He, apart from God's miracle power in his life, and he doesn't even realize it, he shouldn't be alive. Now, did it mess him up? I'm not going to go into that. But anyways, but he's a miracle. We think of young people. Angel Rivera is alive today by the miraculous power of God. We go to adults. Mark West is a miracle. What God has done in Mark West's life. Ray Carter is a miracle. Laying under a home with a gas furnace that explodes. He's alive today because of the hand of God and nothing else. And we can see miracle after miracle from the Bible all the way through to our lives. And we ought to remind ourselves and thank God for the miracles we see in our life. And so number one, we see the greatness of God. Number two, we see great miracles that God has done. But you know, in that miracle that God would do in the life of Abraham and Sarah, when he would give them a child named Isaac, that miracle would eventually, over the course of time, lead to the greatest miracle. And the greatest miracle is found over in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, the greatest miracle was seen one day, one place, one person. That person was Jesus Christ on a cross at Calvary. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. I mean, you just stop and consider what happened that day. What happened that day? They took this man, Jesus, they led him up a road, they nailed him to a cross at Calvary, they pierced his hands and his feet, they watched him die, they put a spear in his side, and out flowed blood and water, they made sure he died, they took him down off of that cross, they put him in a tomb, and then they said, put a stone upon the front of that tomb just so his disciples would not be able to steal the body and say he rose from the grave. And 3 days later, Jesus Christ arose from the grave by the power of God. He arose victoriously from the grave by the power of God. Because you see, the miracle of Jesus Christ is that he paid for our sin. He defeated death, he defeated sin, he defeated the devil, he was victorious in all things, and that is the miracle of the gospel, which leads to the greatest miracle that can happen in your life. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, check this out, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The power of God unto salvation. You know, we can talk about the miracles that God does in people's lives, but the greatest miracle that God can do and wants to do and is able to do and is willing to do in your life is save your soul. That's the greatest miracle, is when God reaches down from heaven because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross of Calvary, and takes a sinner condemned to hell, dead in his trespass and sin, and saves him and gives him eternal life. Just stop and consider what a miracle that is. The miracle that God forgives all your sins. The miracle that God delivers you from hell and gives you a home in heaven. The miracle that God, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. The miracle that God takes a life that is in the bondage of sin and sets it free so that it can live by the power of the Spirit of God, a life unto God. And then give us a home in heaven. I'm reminded of one of the greatest miracles when it comes to me, one of the greatest testimonies when it comes to salvation, is a man, he's right now, he's around God's throne in glory. He's in the presence of God. And yet I remember the days when this man would get up in the morning, and I would see him numerous days throughout the week. And he would get up in the morning and he would go out by 7 o'clock or earlier in the morning. And he would walk around the streets of the city and he would gather bottles and cans and he would take them and turn them in so that he could buy a quart bottle of vodka every morning. And by 9 o'clock in the morning, this man had drunk a quart of vodka. He was a drunk. You can dress the word up all you want. He was a drunk. When you met him at 9 o'clock in the morning, he would speak and the breath, the vodka coming off his breast could knock you right over. By nine, and he was such a drunk that he could walk and talk and function at 9 o'clock in the morning after drinking a quart of vodka. And then I remember one day as we were having service and as we were singing, "How Great Thou Art," that he walked into the back of the church. And as we were singing that hymn, "How Great Thou Art," he began to walk down the aisle right at the beginning of service. And he sat right in the front row of the church. And I began to preach the gospel, how that God could save the souls of men. And I began to see, even as he listened, the tears began to flow down his cheeks. And at the end of the service, he walked to the back of that church and he sat down at a table. And he began to weep and cry. And he began to cry out for God to save his soul. And that moment, that Sunday, God saved that man. And that moment, God not only saved his soul, but God delivered him from the power of vodka. He walked in a drunk, and by the power of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ, walked out clean and sober. And for months, liquor couldn't touch him. Today, he's in glory because of the greatest miracle that ever happened in his life. And the greatest miracle was through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. When he trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, God saved his soul, delivered him from the power of darkness, translated him into the kingdom of his dear son, and welcomed him home to glory. And so God speaks to Abraham. God speaks to Abraham and he speaks of his greatness. He says, "I am the Almighty God." Speaks of the miracle that he's going to do in his life. And yet the greatest miracle is that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But may I give you one more verse as we close this morning. May it be an encouragement to you this morning as we think of the greatness of our God. And it's Psalm 91 in verse number 1. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Let's pray.